I'm Will Baker.
And I'm Alex Prescott.
And you're listening to
Think to the Brink.
Where better to go for opinions than Mum's Net?
Can Jesus choose which wine he turns it into?
There needs to be some middle ground between a full stop and an exclamation point.
Your taste buds are amazed.
So he's basically like a glorified textbook writer.
Is there any person in the world that is more of a yes man than Mr. Smith?
Welcome back to Think to the Brink, the podcast for the overthinkers among us.
Today's debate episode, which is, as Alex says, a debate. We've been so this quite debate heavy in the last series, but this one is a debate between two of the most iconic, famous mans, or so men, if you will,
we've decided
of
to
all time.
Yeah, we've decided to steer clear of supermen, because they've got an unfair advantage.
Batman, because they're quite well off financially.
Will has been wanting to do his character for, I would say, many episodes, about 20 episodes.
And I've requested this topic so many times, and Alex has shot it down.
Yeah, because I don't really know much about Pac-Man, and I don't really have to, because today I'm defending the Michelin Man.
Another famous man.
Yeah, and definitely the better of the two men.
No, definitely not.
I mean, okay, let's begin, let's leave
it. Okay, let's go right in there.
How is Pac-Man in any way even close to as good as the Michelin Man?
Obstacles that he overcomes on a daily basis.
Okay, talk to me more about
I think that. A great man, a great hero, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Pac-Man.
I thought we were steering clear of
No,
those.
But if you're going to use them as examples,
yeah.
What do they all need?
To be able to get away and not die.
Well, that's obvious.
That's something that Pac-Man can never do.
Okay. They need an arch-villain, a nemesis, an enemy.
Are you talking in the singular?
Yeah, the singular.
Okay.
So, would you say, I mean, Batman has a lot, but it's usually one a film. Superman, again, same. Pac-Man, at any one time, four. Four arch-enemies. Who does the Michelin Man have as his rival?
Challenges the Michelin Man? Badly paved roads. Not much of a history of maps being drawn in that area. Poor food. Michelin Man, because
abstract
Michelin
concept.
Man is amazing because he manages to straddle so many industries. Like when we were talking about this, Will said, "Wait, no, the Michelin tires cannot be." You say cannot be the same man as the Michelin Guide and also Michelin stars. And he is. So he's got his fingers in many, his tiry fingers
in
many
pies.
And is the hero that we all need.
That's a Batman quote.
So Pac-Man, has he changed at all in his history?
Yeah.
Okay, talk me through that.
Well, he used to, when he was originally designed by the Japanese.
Yeah.
As all the best inventions are.
Wow.
French.
Maybe.
He was called Puckman, P-U-C-K. Okay. People thought that would be too easy to satirise, and there would be graffiti changing one letter of Puckman.
Oh, right. Oh, because he looks like a puck.
Yeah, that exactly. Yeah. According to more commonly cited reports, Pac-Man was based on a pizza with the first quarter of it cut out, and we all love pizza.
I think the sign of a good man... A good superhero is an alter ego, right?
Yeah.
Because it needs to be able to do good and also be secret. So we've got the Michelin Man.
Yeah.
Does Pac-Man actually have another name? Does he have an alter ego at all?
There's Mrs. Pac-Man.
That's not the same. No. So, whereas the Michelin Man has... His real name is Bibendum. Which is from... So you were talking about all the good inventions come from Japan. I'd say actually the Romans. And this is where Bibendum's come from. From the words nunc est bibendum, now is the time to drink. Anyway, it's...
Well, that's citing people to alcohol, isn't it?
It's from the Roman poet Horace.
Oh, yeah, Horace.
No, but because when they started, he'd say now is the time to drink. So he was an enthusiastic man.
Yes.
This was before they'd done the maps or the restaurants. And the goblet,
just in the tire days.
The goblet was filled with nails and broken glass, which was meant to be indicative of how tough and hardy Michelin tires were, and that they would not puncture that easily. So this is from the Michelin Guide website.
Yeah, but I don't think that's sending a good message to kids.
Why not?
First of all, now is the time to drink. Not a great slogan. Also, drinking tyres and oil. That's disgusting.
I mean, Pac-Man...
Some health issues there, surely.
Pac-Man just sends a... After our previous episode of Words With Friends, we know the dangers of addiction to video games. And Pac-Man is an endless video game, isn't it?
No.
Yeah, it is. There's no end.
Yeah, because you're constantly trying to overcome challenges.
Yeah.
As is life.
Yeah, but the Michelin Man actually succeeds and gives a sense of purpose.
No.
A star. A reward system.
Yeah, there's no...
What can Pac-Man possibly...
Pac-Man is all about perseverance. He preaches, try, and if you don't succeed, try again. Or words to that effect. I was talking earlier about his arch rivals, his nemesis, the ghosts. The four ghosts.
Yeah.
Blinky, Pinky, Inky, and Clyde. Now, they've all got here. They've got different...
Why did they not rhyme the last one?
I don't know.
Why did they go for Clyde?
Well... His original name is Pokey. He's the orange ghost. So
I did not know they had names.
So they originally they have Japanese names and the translations for each of these four ghosts. There's a red, a pink, a turquoise, and an orange ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
Chaser, Ambusher, Fickle, and Fiend Ignorance. So Blinky, or Shadow, is a red ghost who in the original arcade game follows behind Pac-Man. He is considered the leader of the ghosts. So he follows Pac-Man wherever he goes. And this is programmed to the game.
Oh, really? So they're each programmed differently?
They've all got different personalities.
Keep going.
Pinky, or Speedy, is a pink ghost who in the original arcade game positions in front of Pac-Man to cut off his escape. Again, some of the obstacles that Pac-Man overcomes are really inspirational when you think about it. Inky, or Bashful... You're regretting that we didn't do a full episode on it, aren't we?
There's loads here. Carry on.
A baby blue ghost who in the original arcade game has a fickle mood. He can be unpredictable. Sometimes he chases Pac-Man aggressively like Blinky. Other times he jumps ahead of Pac-Man as Pinky would. He might even wander off like Clyde on occasion. Now, Clyde
just wanders.
Is an orange ghost who in the original arcade game acts stupid. He will chase after Pac-Man in Blinky's manner, but will wander off to his home corner when he gets too close because they've got that home...
Yeah.
The ghost house, it's called.
He'll wander off to his own corner when he gets too close?
When he gets too close. So these ghosts all have different personalities. Clyde basically just goes all over the place.
That is really interesting.
Blinky chases, Pinky cuts off, and Inky can do anything. So he's a bit of it. So four different personalities, all working together in tandem.
Yeah.
How hard is that to overcome? Because they all basically complement each other beautifully. Clyde is like the rogue, you know. Hang on.
Other ghosts?
Other ghosts are available. But I think...
There's some more. So you're diluting your argument
so
there.
Look at all these villains. Kinky, Orson, or Tokman. Kinky is also called Kinzo. He's the scientist of the ghosts who has the ability to combine with other ghosts. When he combines with Clyde, they become a bull-like ghost named Urchin that can charge after Pac-Man. When he combines with Inky, Kinky's glasses appear.
Oh, yeah, but when you have too many villains, now we're starting to think, oh, the villains are, you know... Is
awesome.
It Pac-Man versus Michelin Man versus the ghost?
Tokman, Spooky, Funky, Spunky, Sue, Tim, Yum Yum, Lord Betrayus, Butler, Dr. Buttocks.
Okay, we can
name... What a list of...
We can name ghosts till the cows come home, and yes, maybe there's some sort of metaphorical... wealth to be gained. However, the Michelin Man,
yeah,
for the average family, they're going to want to go on holiday,
yeah,
go to a nice restaurant
and
hire
drive.
A car,
yeah,
yeah. So you know where I'm going, but the Michelin Man has you on every step. You get at the airport, you get to the car, oh, where are we going to go, oh, those tyres don't look very good, bam, get some Michelin tyres. Then you're driving along, oh, where should we go, let's look at the map, Michelin map. Where should we go? This restaurant. Oh, is there any sort of reviewing system? Michelin stars.
I'm going to come back at you. So you're saying, like, for the average family, sort of average Joe's, kind of like...
Yeah.
People that are going... Because, you know... I think you know where I'm going.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Michelin star restaurants are exclusive, luxury...
Yeah.
I would say excluding. I think there are very few restaurants in the world today that have Michelin stars. There are quite a few, but it's not. It's like one.
But there's
one,
a 1, 2, 3 system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think restaurants with 3 Michelin stars are very hard to come by. And for the average person, impossible to afford. So yeah, but I
in their normal cover guides, they also do normal number of stars. They do out of 10, but then they have the Michelin stars. They cater.
What do you think the Michelin man is doing all of these ratings? He's going into all. Well, he's put on a bit of weight. Well,
Michelin
man's
a spokesperson. Okay, well that's not correct because he's made out of tires. So.
What do you mean?
He can't put on weight. It's just the different thickness of tires. Also, do you know he's white because originally tires were white. And then that's one of my facts that.
Tires weren't black until 1912, apparently.
Yeah, because they were either grey-white or had a light translucent beige hue. Carbon was subsequently added to the rubber formula as a preservative and a strengthener. So in 1912. So he moves with the times.
How old is he?
He's been the spokesperson since 1898. And the story goes that in a Lyon exhibition in 1894, a pile of tires inspired his look. Quote, "Look, with arms it would make a man," said the company founder, Edouard Michelin, to his brother André.
So he's not even a real person?
Palin's not a real person.
It's a pizza with one slice eaten, who goes around eating pellets, confronting evil.
Yeah, what are the pellets?
Just the sustenance that he needs to survive.
You know, it's not a real world thing, is it?
Well, it is.
It's out there. It's recreation.
There are a lot of metaphors that Pac-Man can represent in the real world.
Such as?
I would say sort of the general,
Yeah, not any springing to mind.
No, there are a few.
Perseverance. No.
No, it's just the general aspiring to a certain career path. And you've got these things that you can, well no, he does get there.
He can't, the
there
game.
There are levels in life.
Can
there
the
are
game
levels.
Be ended?
Yeah, well no, because finished? Can life be ended?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Should you ever stop trying in life? Is there a point in life where you should give up?
No, you
should. If you're, okay, any career, name me a career path.
Architect.
Architect. So if you're an architect, the pellets are the different skills that you're accruing over the years, over the levels, you're working your way up. So maybe when you were young, you played The Sims.
But does Pac-Man...
And that inspired love of architecture in you. Then you get older, you look at houses, you're like, oh yeah, I want to do that. Don't interrupt me, please.
Go on.
And so then, levels are passing, and there are ghosts, these four ghosts that are chasing you. These may be your parents, if they're not supportive of your dream. They want you to become a lawyer, go into the family business, for example. Or kids at school that are saying, oh, don't play The Sims. You know, it's not fun. And then...
yeah, there's four ghosts.
So there's another one. That maybe your bad grades. You're not doing very well in school, and you've got this.
You're playing Sims all the time.
Because you're playing Sims all the time. The other ghost, Clyde, could be you've got an illness or something. You just missed a few days at school.
And then
as the level goes up.
And then what about the other ghosts?
Well, there are always going to be ghosts in life. I don't know if Kinky comes in on the first level. He comes in a few levels down the line.
Okay, and this analogy is for the first level.
This is for the first level. Right, 10 levels so maybe you're a university graduate.
Yeah.
And there's like student debt is a ghost. Too much partying.
Yeah.
Cheap pizza. That kind of thing.
Yeah, and there's the fourth ghost, isn't there? The fourth ghost.
Maintenance loan.
I'm just really enjoying. You already said student. Well, alright, student loan.
Different things.
Act very similar to the Clyde, if you
so
will.
There are always. There are always ghosts in life that are going to try and stop you from eating your pellets.
Right, yeah.
Which is. Can be anything. An architect is just one. And when you complete the level, you design an amazing building, and it just keeps getting. And it shows you the message, I think, from Pac-Man is that you can always set the bar higher for yourself. You should never feel like you've achieved your goals. You should always have more goals to achieve. As you said, Pac-Man can't be completed. It goes from level to level to level with different varying degrees of difficulties. And life is a maze, and Pac-Man is a maze. And it teaches you that you may take the wrong turn, but you can always go back and eat those pellets
later. To
level one. Well, yeah, there's also game over.
So, I listened to that for a long time. What I would say is that a question I have for you, does Pac-Man get any better?
Yes.
As you go up the levels?
Definitely.
Not as in better to play, as in does the Pac-Man get better at eating the pellets, at evading the ghosts, or do you as a player have to get better?
Do you as a player have to adapt and get better?
Okay.
I think Pac-Man himself...
There's no new power-ups or no skills?
No.
Okay, so that life analogy... What helps people to get through the obstacles is the fact that they accrue experience and they become better adept at overcoming the obstacles.
Yeah.
Which the character of Pac-Man does not. However, the Michelin Man... the Michelin Man gives a trajectory from person who wants to buy a car, kind of thinking, oh, where shall I buy the tyres, to very...
You don't buy tyres separately
to,
from the car.
Well, I mean, you might shop around. To very successful businessman...
It's like a bed mattress situation.
Business person dining at the 3-star Michelin restaurant. There's an obvious entry level and then going up to... There's an aspiration. Whereas with Pac-Man, yeah, it gets more difficult, but there's no... There's nothing to sink your claws into of, oh, I've done this. Like, yes, you have a number of a level, but what does that even mean? A number of stars, you know what that quality is, and it's world-renowned.
Do you know what Michelin Man screams to me?
What?
Desperation. We're in the tyre business.
How long has Pac-Man been around?
Been out since the 80s.
1980s?
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. Michelin Man was almost around in the 1880s.
Yeah, exactly.
Longevity.
And who's more famous?
Michelin Man.
No, Pac-Man is definitely famous. Is the Michelin Man in the Guinness Book of World Records?
Yeah.
What for?
Gordon Ramsay on the F word battled legendary Alaskan fishmonger Jenna Rabich in a fish filleting record, and she's a Michelin star chef, so they will have had a little...
No, he's a Michelin star chef. She's not. She's a famous Alaskan fishmonger.
Oh, sorry, yeah. No.
It's a famous Alaskan fishmonger. He's also a Michelin star chef.
So he's a Michelin star. So this is the thing.
Well, that's indirectly.
How is Pac-Man in the Guinness Book?
The most successful coin game of all time.
What's the competition? Oh, no, surely Temple Runner.
No, Pac-Man. Yeah, so you've just given us some competition there. All arcade games ever.
Well, it's one of the oldest ones, though, isn't it?
It's been around since the 80s.
Yeah.
Front runner.
I mean, it's old for video games, but if we're talking...
If you were going to name one tyre brand, what would you name off the top of your head?
Michelin.
No.
What would you name?
Continental.
Continental?
Yeah. If you were going to name a arcade game with a pizza-like character, what would you name? Pac-Man.
Okay, so we've got here on the money-saving forums talking about which tyre you'd want... And it said, if they're both the same price, I'd go for the Michelins. Given they're 20% cheaper, no-brainer. 100 isn't a terrible price for the Continentals, but £80 is a very good one for the Michelin.
Yeah, but I would say the Michelin is competing in the market for who is the most recognisable tyre brand of all time. I don't think Pac-Man is competing in the yellow arcade game character.
I think in arcade games, I think...
Name the most iconic yellow character of all time.
Pikachu.
I thought you were going to come at me with the Simpsons.
I
would say Pac-Man is more iconic than Pikachu.
Really? Well, that's all good. I don't think so.
Pikachu is one of many Pokemon. Pac-Man is the
only
man.
No, but Pikachu is, you know, has Pac-Man ever had a Game Boy Color case where his cheek is the on button? No. Has Pikachu?
Does Pac-Man have cheeks? No.
What? Is Pac-Man 2D?
Yeah, 2D. And to have risen to the heights that he has with a 2D limitation put on him by the game creators is amazing.
Also, a good hero for the ages
is
one that is relevant to the time now in different ways maybe throughout history. So it keeps finding new relevances. Much like a Shakespeare play. If you put a Shakespeare play on, there'll be new resonances that are like, oh, that's actually what's happening now because of their universality.
Yeah.
Michelin Man, body positivity.
What?
So, the Michelin Man's a big guy.
Yeah.
And rocks it. I mean, one quote...
said he wasn't overweight, he was made of tyres.
Well, okay, he looks big.
He was originally a scary-looking
no,
blob.
You can't look at my research. Well, anyway, they were saying he's a man of joy, and he inspires people, whereas if you're 2D, you're away from reality. How can Pac-Man possibly comment on real-world issues when
Pac-Man?
He lives in a two-thirds of the dimensions
you talk
that we
about,
live in?
You talk about body positivity.
Yeah.
Well, we live in 4D, not 3D.
What does Pac-Man live in?
2D, but that's not my point.
Well, no, there's still time in Pac-Man's life.
Yeah.
So he lived... Isn't time the fourth dimension?
I don't know.
It's not like 4D, like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, like where
that's
like,
what I was
it
thinking.
Spits on you. There's a bit of water.
That's what I thought it meant. No, well, I'm sure there are 4D Pac-Man games out there.
The fourth dimension is time. But anyway, I'm assuming we're saying, okay, geometrically.
Okay.
We're living in 3D.
Pac-Man is a pizza. A half-eaten pizza.
Yeah.
Body positivity.
Why is that? Yeah, but that's not obvious. I didn't know that. So it's not... Like, most people don't realise he's a half-eaten pizza. Who has a yellow pizza?
Yellow cheesed pizza.
Just cheese?
Yeah.
Nothing else?
You can easily have a cheese pizza.
So it's bland?
No.
So it's encouraging...
How can you say that cheese is bland?
Encouraging being fussy?
No, cheese is bland.
What, do you think it's a three cheese pizza?
Yeah.
Why are they all the same shade?
Cheddar.
Crepe strip.
Mozzarella. Brie.
It's obviously a one cheese pizza, which is boring. Just like Pac-Man.
Well, it's eaten.
What,
so someone
what real world issue does Pac-Man weigh in on?
Athletics.
How does he weigh in on athletics?
Constantly running.
That's not really a real world issue. I was thinking like addiction. I guess he weighs in on addiction, but not in a good way.
Well, explain.
Well, in that he encourages it.
And to what?
Encourages addiction. It's an addictive game.
Okay.
However, the Michelin man does not encourage addiction because a Michelin star...
Because none of his products are good enough to...
No, because a Michelin star restaurant... You can't say a Michelin star restaurant isn't good enough to whatever the end of your sentence was. A Michelin star restaurant is a treat. It encourages how my parents always said to drink alcohol in moderation. Drink a glass of wine with your food. Go to a Michelin star restaurant once a year for a birthday. Don't play Pac-Man for the rest of your life. So I'm getting quite... getting quite heated here. In the studio. The one thing they do have in common is they both don't talk.
Yeah, true. So, they don't need to.
However, I said that, and then actually, oh no, Pac-Man never talks. Whereas Bibendum has once spoken.
When did he say?
At a speaking engagement in 1898 in a Paris cycle show. A large cardboard cutout was set up, and they instructed a cabaret comedian to crouch behind and provide some animated banter. The spectacle was said to have attracted such a large crowd that pushing and shoving ensued and the police had to be called in.
Exactly. So, he's causing a riot.
No,
he's
a rock star.
Inciting the crowd to
he's
riot.
A rock star.
He's not a rock star. He's not a rock star.
He is. The space specified, I like this, that when specifying what sort of humour they wanted, they said, perfect elocution, keen repartee, and wit without vulgarity.
Wow.
Which I think maybe could be said for us.
Yeah, exactly. Wit without vulgarity.
Perfect
elocution. In 2005, Pac-Man received the Guinness World Records for being the most successful coin-operated game, I've already said. Mm. He also, in the 2010 edition of the Guinness Book of World Records, was named the most recognised video game character of all time. 94% of Americans recognise the distinctive yellow ghost gobbler. I also think global warming.
Mm. What? Real life?
Getting rid of waste.
Where do the pellets go? Pac-Man doesn't get bigger.
Yeah, but he eats them. But he's running so much that he converts them to...
So he never has to go to the toilet. Or maybe
no.
He goes to the toilet in between levels.
No, maybe.
Because there's a bit where like the screen, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
It
but also,
off, so maybe
he
that's
eats
broken.
The ghosts. When you there are those flashing white dots that you eat, and then you and then the ghosts all go blue, and he can eat them all.
No, but he doesn't. They don't get rid of them though. He eats them, and then they have to run back to their home to.
Exactly.
So he doesn't.
But that's getting rid of... That's rehoming people.
So you're saying that he's... I don't really know what point you're trying to make. Rehoming people by eating them?
Well, no, it's a metaphor for conservation.
Rehousing.
Rehousing, if you want, but also taking animals
biting
back...
Biting people.
Taking animals back to their natural habitat.
How do you do it? He doesn't have any teeth.
No, but he...
Are they ghost liquid?
Those blue dots.
Just you can swallow them, it's like
a
pill.
Yeah. It's a magic pill.
A lot of questions, really.
Yeah, but I think he is... Yeah, I think a lot of issues can be politics. I think Michelin restaurants stand for snobbishness, superiority, and the Michelin man himself is a symbol of all that's wrong with the world.
I think that's...
And he's harbouring tyres.
It's interesting that you should say that there's all that's wrong with the world, because I've got an opinion here.
Yeah.
You know, we love our theories here on the podcast. Pac-Man has always been the bad guy. Okay? So, first, consider the inspiration of one of Pac-Man's most unique traits, power-ups. Pac-Man creator Toru Iwatani has stated power pellets were inspired by how Popeye became more powerful after eating spinach.
Exactly.
This puts into perspective the basic conflict at the heart of Pac-Man, that of the slighted protagonist seeking revenge. Like Popeye, Pac-Man is helpless against his foes until he eats his favourite food, in Pac-Man's case, cookies. which is what each dot represents, according to Iwatani. He'll die if the ghosts, who are presumably other dead Pac-Men, touch him.
No, that's not true.
But the power cookie grants Pac-Man vindication. Finally, he
can turn around Pac-Man
and give the ghosts who have oppressed him their due. Now, we don't know for sure why Inky, Pinky, Blinky and Clyde chase Pac-Man around. We can't be sure if he's an intruder in their realm searching for cookies, or if the ghosts have invaded Pac-Man's cookie-littered home. Either way, so either he's messy or he's an invader. Either way, Pac-Man has a right to defend either himself or his home from ghosts who are aggressively attacking him. The conflict is justifiable if a little lopsided, but with every new game, Pac-Man has grown more powerful. By the time Championship Edition released, Pac-Man was nearly unstoppable. In that game, he encounters enough power cookies to eat ghosts almost constantly. In Championship Edition DX, ghosts are hardly a problem. Most of them lie sleeping around the course, and in his wanton cookie-eating rampage, Pac-Man wakes them as he passes up. The ghosts rightly become agitated and chase him around for waking them up, but because most of them simply follow behind, they don't really threaten him unless he turns around, usually after eating another power cookie. So basically, the thread of this is that either he's really messy, or he's invaded the ghost's place, and most of the time, they're just going around. Well, only one of the four of them is following him.
Yeah.
And actually, he's the villain, he's the intruder.
No, they're patrolling.
And therefore he should be punished.
No.
Well, there's a security, but why are they patrolling? You know, they're security guards.
They're out to get him. They're doing a job,
probably minimum wage.
They're out to get him. And they will find him and eat him. Terrifying.
Yeah, Pac-Man is.
Who would win in a fight between Michelin Man and Pac-Man?
Okay,
the Michelin Man is made of rubber. And
yeah.
Pac-Man bites. He'd just deflate the tyres with a few well-aimed bites. And then what would the Michelin Man, he would deflate, and he would die.
Well, so are we assuming that we're going to a 2D realm in order to fight?
No.
So, okay, so Pac-Man is still 2D. So that'd be quite, good, because then he could just go sideways, and then he wouldn't be able to be seen if he went
exactly front
ways on.
Exactly, so he's camouflage.
But no, the Michelin Man's got a lot of... And also, these tyres, you know, he used to drink goblets of nails. Like, one bite's not going to do anything. As soon as the bite, he's going to thwack him once. And as we know, Pac-Man can't even be touched by a ghost. So if Pac-Man can't be touched by a ghost, how's he going to fare with one touch from a very strong Michelin Man?
The Michelin Man is basically a flabby, girly man who was created by stapling together leftover pieces of Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Flabby girly, I think that says far more about the person writing it. You know, gender roles, fat shaming.
Bib couldn't defend himself either. He might try to swing those flabby arms around, but anything he could possibly dish out will bounce right off the glass pitcher that is the Kool-Aid Man.
And so you're looking at Kool-Aid versus the Michelin Man.
Yeah, Kool-Aid Man versus the Michelin Man. And in this debate online, the Kool-Aid Man wins with 52% of the vote. He deflates the Michelin Man.
Pac-Man, he's trapped in a maze with no exit, but his focus on consumption is so overwhelming, so sensual, that he doesn't even notice. So he's a glutton. Michelin Man is never shown to eat, but is shown to be happy with the body that he's been given, probably genetically, whereas Pac-Man is showing signs of overeating and binging, which we all know is a problem in our society.
The Michelin Man has a terrifying past. Before he was an obese merrymaker, the man was a menace. This is an article I found in The Drive.
It's just so much shit-slinging.
The Michelin Man, like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man before his turn in Ghostbusters, is a charmingly obese fixture in our lives. Fluffy, benevolent, and concerned only with the quality of the world's tyres, well, we know he's got other concerns.
Yeah.
Michelin Man, or Monsieur Michelin, as it calls him here, flits through our automotive world introducing new products and kissing babies at auto shows. He embodies the word rubber with none of the sex. Michelin, without any of its snobby foodie vibe. Well, I think he's got both. Do you want to hug the Michelin Man? Yes, of course you do. But things weren't always this pleasant. Like other institutions with over 100 years of history, spanning the eras from Victorian to vitamin water, the Michelin Man has had periods of downright horror. Iterations of creep, menace and grotesquerie. Forget the Babadook, this is Bibendum.
I mean,
in 1898, Andre Michelin, one of the company's eponymous brothers, was at a brasserie when he saw a poster advertising a local bar which featured a large bearded man raising a glass of beer. He decided to co-opt the layout, replacing the hirsute pubgoer with a fat man made of tyres, white as they were then, and his beer with a glass full of nails and broken glass. the idea? Just as a drunk slurps down stain after stain unfazed, so might a robust Michel Tyre drink up obstacles and continue forward. Slogan on the original poster, Nunc est bibendum, we talked about. Though he was created as a creature of mirth, his silhouette was nonetheless disturbing. The man we know today as a roly-poly goodwill ambassador was then a ropey, dead-eyed spectre. And if you see in the pictures, he looks like a mummy. Sometimes he chewed a cigar like a villainous robber baron. Others he wore a sinister monocle. Pupils and a smile would come late in the 20th century. His arms, rubber-fattened and pendulous, were too large to remain at his sides, forcing a zombie-like raising. The walk, too, recalled the undead. Bibendum, as he sold tyre, seemed just as likely to toss a handful of rusty nails into the path of oncoming motorists, then ravage their bodies and siphon their brains once they came to a stop on the side of a dark road in a dank wood. So this is an article that's been written. Today he's pristine and smiling, but he's got a dark past, and he does look like a very sinister character, and so, I think people forget where he came from.
I think that's all propaganda to try and besmear the Michelin Man, but also it highlights something that actually I love about the Michelin Man, and that is that he's acted to change. So basically, he came about, he maybe had some of the things, like smoking. Lots of people used to smoke in old adverts. It's because he's been around for so long. He's been around 120 years.
Yeah.
120 years this year, almost. And
we're nearly celebrating the 120-year anniversary of the Michelin Man.
Yeah. Well,
Batman's only been around for 30 years, and yet already more iconic.
No.
He's done more than 30 years.
So has Pac-Man ever changed?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, look at all the ghosts that he's surpassed. All of these different ghosts that have come in. Miss Pac-Man, he got married. He's had a kid.
Has he ever changed what he looks like? Fundamentally, has he ever looked at himself and thought, actually, I can do better? Or has he just gone on this
never
one path?
Never change a winning formula.
And always question yourself, because you can always do better. And I think Pac-Man can. And I think the creators of Pac-Man and Pac-Man themselves have got complacent. Hell, they got complacent a long time ago.
Has the Michelin Man ever had a positive effect on the community?
Yes, I've just found he's an Oscar winner. In 2010, the famous Michelin Man logo appeared in an Academy Award-winning short titled Logorama. The film featured two Michelin cops chasing down the one and only Ronald McDonald.
Oh, interesting. So in the film, it would imply that the Michelin cops are the man, the institution, and they're chasing down poor Ronald McDonald for giving us a cheap alternative to Michelin star restaurants. Ronald McDonald, obviously the forerunner, the face, the poster boy for McDonald's, fast food, accessible, every man, and these corrupt, snobbish Michelin cops are chasing down Ronald McDonald, imprisoning him, ending his reign of...
I think that says far more about your view of thieves and cops. You know, I think you really need to look at yourself in the mirror and see who the goodies and the baddies are, especially in an Oscar. Well, there's even an article, Michelin Man is a lot like Jesus, which I think says everything.
We'll come up with a few points about that, and I'll knock them down for you. How is the Michelin Man a lot like Jesus?
He's lovable. He is often held up in this sort of way as a figure of snobbery and stuff, and yet he keeps smiling, keeps enduring. He's very, very resilient.
You couldn't put the Michelin Man on the cross, though, could you?
You couldn't put Pac-Man on the cross. It's 3D.
Yeah, but we're not talking about, is Pac-Man like Jesus?
What do you think Pac-Man's like Jesus?
He gets sacrificed a lot.
Really?
When? Yeah.
When's he get
sacrificed? When
he die. Oh, yeah. And he comes back to life.
Exactly. Yeah, I think Pac-Man is more like Jesus.
No, also, I think Jesus is the most like Jesus.
Also ghosts, the Holy Ghost, temptation, pizza.
I think the pizza thing is a very flimsy argument because no one knows it's about pizza.
It's not about pizza, he just is a pizza.
So you said that Pac-Man was the best, the most recognised video game character, right?
Yeah.
In the year 2000, Michelin Man was voted as the best logo symbol of all time. Also, where's the Michelin Man from?
France.
Where's Pac-Man from?
Japan. What were you going to say?
I thought it was America. I kind of forgot. So,
we'll leave that in.
No, it's like, okay. So yeah, so Michelin Man's from France.
Michelin Man doesn't have a nose.
He talks about us now. That's Pac-Man doesn't have a nose.
Oh yeah.
didn't know we were going, going down the nose, really scraping the bowel. But at the moment, so I think we should bring this debate back to the current day before we wrap up. And yes, diplomacy between all countries is needed, between the UK and France, between the UK and Japan. However, at the moment, we are in the middle of Brexit. And in Brexit, it is important to have figures like the Michelin Man that show us what is good about Europe and how we can continue working together with our European allies. We still need to work together with Japan.
I think the majority of the country voted to get rid of the Michelin Man.
I think the majority of country doesn't know that Pac-Man looks like a pizza.
There was no Pac-Man vote.
Maybe we should do a referendum about that. We're all getting trigger happy with those.
Referendum on Pac-Man or Michelin Man, if you want to know.
Yeah, but
we want to know your thoughts on who you prefer. Who you think would win in a fight? I think we've ascertained.
I think the most obvious one. Pac-Man is ahead.
So?
Michelin Man.
And look
is
what he's accomplished. Exactly. Look what he's accomplished as being just ahead.
Just ahead is not.
Would you not say he's the most famous head of all time?
No.
What?
The Churchill dog. Is that just ahead?
That's not just ahead. That's a whole dog.
Oh, yeah.
The skull in Hamlet, maybe.
Yeah, that's...
What does that achieve? Nothing.
Poor Yorick.
Yeah, but it's just a prop.
Well, yeah, so I'd say I see a head, and do you know? Do you have any friends who just have heads?
No.
No.
Do you have any friends that are just made out of ties?
Do you have any friends that are entire bodies?
I mean, he looks like a cheap knockoff of the Abominable Snowman.
Oh, now we're getting really...
Personal.
Yeah, personal. He's been around hundreds of years.
Exactly.
More
dated.
Than Monsters, Inc.
You know what else has been around for hundreds of years?
What?
Inequality.
I think we're never going to agree on this.
Do you know what's been
one?
Around since the 80s?
What?
The Bee Gees.
It's been a good thing that's come around. Longevity is so important.
No.
Okay, I think we've reached an impasse, and so we should wrap it up there. We're not going to do our usual, both people have got a side, because I firmly think that Will has no legs to stand on. It's only a head.
Well, Pac-Man's got
only
no legs to stand on,
yeah,
but that doesn't mean that he's any less of an icon culturally, morally, politically.
Just a video game character. What can he really achieve? He's got no voice.
Maze.
No culture. Michelin Man is a man of culture.
Mm.
Bibendum.
How can the Michelin Man rate restaurants if he can't eat? Or if all he eats are nails and oil?
How can Pac-Man go to sleep at night knowing that he is...
He doesn't sleep.
...a bastardization of the word puck?
Pac-Man never sleeps. He can't.
Or maybe
the ghosts will get him.
Maybe he'd come up with some good ideas. If he just had a little rest.
Well, on that note, Pac-Man versus the Michelin Man, it's got heated.
It has.
It's been personal.
I thought it would do, and it did.
It divided opinion. I'm sure it would have divided opinion for you, the listener. We will put a poll up on our Twitter. We want to see what you think.
Oh, yeah.
And...
That's going to be quite interesting, yeah.
I think Pac-Man's going to shade it.
I think
it'll be quite convincing.
Yeah. We'll see.
But anyway, if you want to vote on that poll or get involved in any other polls that we might put up, suggest topics.
By the time you're listening to this, that poll might be up.
It probably will.
If not, it'll be in a couple of days afterwards. So, yeah.
Summer well and truly underway now.
So we'll let you, the listener, in a little bit. We're recording because both of us are away for lots of the summer.
So
but
we're
you
recording
won't even
them well in advance.
So this one we don't know when exactly it's coming out, but it might be in 2 months' time. So
in which case, by which time, the Michelin Man may have gone away.
Yeah, hopefully Pac-Man will have. But anyway, you know what? We'll still be there.
Think to the Brink.
And our social media.
Which is Twitter, Think to the Brink with the number 2. Facebook.com/Think to the Brink with the word TO.
YouTube.com/Think to the Brink, again with the number 2. And we're on Podomatic, Stitcher, the iTunes app, the Apple Podcast app, Podbean. So many ways to listen, including the way you are listening now.
So many ways to listen. No excuses not to. Another episode of Think to the Brink rolls on.
But until then...
It's goodbye from me, Will Baker.
And me, Alex Prescott.
In the meantime,
don't forget to overthink.